It's really just about going out there and, you know, either getting the job done or, you know, this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league. And then, you know, eventually they're going to find people who are going to get it done.
Matt Bush looking in. Again, glove right there in front of his chest. The 3-2 pitch. Ground ball hitting the hole and short. Backhanded by Elvis. Go to second one. Back to first. Low throw. Knocked down by Moreland. Here comes Donaldson. Throw to the plate. Head first line. He scores. Ball game, Blue Jays. Another extra inning win for the Blue Jays in the postseason. 7-6 over the Texas Rangers to sweep the American League Division Series in three games.
I mean, I know that the bat flip was the moment, but that's a pretty cool way to walk off a team and to go on in the playoffs. It's Blair and Barker. Gorgeous day here in Toronto. We're going to make it rain, hopefully, in a couple of minutes. Josh Donaldson, the bringer of rain, is going to join us. He has announced his retirement, announced it yesterday on Sean Casey's show. And he'll be along. Chris Rose joins us as well. What's the first thing that comes to mind when I say the name Josh Donaldson to you?
Leg kick. That's, I mean, being sort of who I am and who I talk to, and remembering that when he had the good year with the leg kick that he added, how everybody else wanted to add the leg kick. And Ryan Goins is one of the guys that stands out, that one, you know, from one year to the other, didn't have the leg kick. The next year he was trying to kick it to the year because he saw that dude doing things he was doing by adding the leg kick. That's the one thing. And the little bit of the when you do had a conversation, which not everybody got to have a conversation. And, you know, me and you were lucky enough that we were able to do that. Just sometimes you would see his lips moving and you'd have no idea what was coming out of his mouth. Like, he'd just say things about hitting that you were like, holy moly. But it's, again, that's the beauty of baseball, and the beauty of hitting is not everybody does it the same. And he was one of those unique offensive players that just sort of reinvented himself in a way that most people couldn't. And it was cool to listen to and cool to have conversations and actually cool to, when you did understand it, actually see it play out in the game. So yeah, that was the one little thing that stood out to me. And also I think the attitude, that was another thing. We talk about this team that we're watching now and the teams in 2015 and 16 and just the fear and the attitude and, you know, how dare you throw in and where do you get that? And there's an element of that. I think you need the American League East, and he brought that.
They, for some reason, that 2015 team, the 2016 team too, maybe almost as much. There were times where, and this is not an original thought, it might have even been Buck that mentioned this. There were times they almost played angry. You know, like, I'm not a big believer. We've talked about this. This isn't hockey. I don't think you play angry. I don't know if it necessarily makes a difference. But there were times where they did. You know, those series against the Orioles. Well, you talked to our friend Caleb Joseph about it. They hated each other.
Yeah.
Those teams.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Darren O'Day was one of the... Caleb Joseph still tells us. Darren O'Day is like the nicest man on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have to walk him off the ledge against the Blue Jays because he hated them. I mean, he hated these guys.
Well, I don't think it was them. I think it was one person. That was Batista, who played right field.
But it trickled down to it. Yeah. There was not a fan of. There was times some chirping with Donaldson.
Yeah, they had a great middle of the order. I mean, they were, you could argue, one of the most feared middle of the orders in baseball at that time.
Sure.
And it just, I think they knew that. And there's a lot comes with that. It's sort of the Garrett Cole effect, is whenever you see him yell, you know, he doesn't like the Vogelbach running around in his first spring training start. Now, it's just little things like that great players need a little extra motivation. And I think the middle of the order sort of needed that, fed off that, and basically said, you come into the Rogers Center, you better be prepared to get bounced on.
I love that.
And, you know, we're going to do a bunch of getting it down and getting it singing. There's nothing you can do about it. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, this is the get it done league thing. That's going up on the list of Blue Jays quotes of all time, along with Winfield wants noise and all those other things. Josh Donaldson, November 28th, 2014, traded to the Blue Jays for Brett Laurie, Kendall Graveman, Sean Nolan, and Franklin Barreto. At the time, the Oakland Athletics were ecstatic that they got Franklin Barreto. Yeah. Franklin Barreto was the guy.
Yeah.
Of course, Josh Donaldson with the Blue Jays, 281 average, 116 home runs, 316 RBI, 931 OPS from 2015 to 2018. He was the three-time All-Star, two-time Silver Slugger. Of course, he was the 2015 AL MVP. His career, Oakland, Toronto, Minnesota, New York, Cleveland, Atlanta, Milwaukee. Like a lot of guys at the end of the career, bouncing around. I found this really interesting, and kudos to Mark Boffo, our producer, for digging this up, because I don't remember this interview. But Josh Donaldson in 2019, when he returned to the Rogers Center as a member of the Braves, quote, "I think what probably nags at me the most is just kind of how my career finished here in Toronto, not even able to play at the time, trying to fight as hard as I could to get back." Look, we're going to have the discussion about whether or not he goes up in the level of excellence. I just don't know if he was here long enough to do it.
Won an MVP.
Only two players in Blue Jays history have won MVP awards. You know, I keep thinking back to my friend Dave Perkins, who's seen more baseball almost than anybody in Toronto. And I remember halfway through Donaldson's first year, or halfway through his MVP year, I remember sitting in the press box with Perk, and Perk said, "You know what? If this guy stays healthy and stays here for the longest time, he's going to be the best Blue Jays player other than Robbie Alomar. Could be," he said. Of course, that's not the way it worked out. We forget Josh Donaldson was a late bloomer. Broken as a catcher.
Yep.
Broken as a catcher. Made the move to third base. And yeah, as my friend Barker says, I mean, the stuff that made him so good when this team was good, the attitude, the mindset, I think that started to kind of wear on folks towards the end. Because that was a hard, you know, it's one thing when an organization develops a bunch of young guys and then everybody has to move on because of free agency and everything. Well, there's a certain way you approach that. It's another thing when you've got, I mean, this team, Jose Bautista, Edwin Encarnacion, Josh Donaldson, these guys all basically resurrected their careers. I mean, they were just kind of guys at one point. Mm-hmm. And I think it's awfully hard when a team is built around three guys like that. Three really proud dudes. I mean, really proud. I think it's awfully hard when that unwinds. You know, even with Eddie and Jose, it wasn't like the smoothest unwinding.
Yeah.
I'd say it's a hell of a career. And, of course, the backstory to Josh Donaldson as well, his upbringing and his relationship with his mother, or 60 Minutes did a thing in him. I mean, I've just said that, you know, I don't pretend to be able to understand. I never did pretend to be able to understand what he was saying about hitting. You played the game. You didn't understand a lot of it.
No.
I didn't have any chance. No. What I really liked about Josh Donaldson, though, is, and Bautista, is he was just no BS when you interviewed them, when you talked to him.
Yeah.
Like, if you'd written something or said something, he'd tell you he didn't like it. And if you asked a dumb question in spring training, he'd look at you and say, "You want a redo?" And that's okay. That's good. You kind of want that. I mean, seriously, you want that. You want that give and take.
Yeah.
And the best thing about Josh is you could always talk to him about stuff. You could always go up to him. Even if he was chapped at something you said or something you'd written or something you did, you could always go up to him and say, okay.
He'd listen for a while.
Yeah.
He'd give you a few minutes until he got tired of listening to you, and he'd turn around and walk off. Yeah. And I never will forget the boombox in the back of the pocket and him and Gibby and, you know, how many MVPs you won. It's just, again, it goes with that whole,
yeah.
You know, we're the Blue Jays. We're in the middle of the order. You see who's hitting around me. Mm-hmm. I'm really good. How dare you tell me what to do? Like, I think time in an organization when they think they're really good, they need this guy. They need a guy. The Blue Jays right now are trying to find that guy. Like, they don't have it. And that, it's hard to find.
Really, you know, well said.
It's hard to
really
find well said. All of that that goes together, because you got to, if you're going to talk it, you got to be able to walk it.
That and is really well
it's
said.
It's just, I loved it. I had no idea most of the time what he's talking about. And that was what made it fun. I couldn't wait to just go, "Hey, what's that red stuff around the bottom of your bat?" And he'd go into all these things. You'd be like, tremendous. I got no idea. But it works for you. Good way to go.
107 will be Blue Jays baseball today. First pitch against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The game's not on TV. Varsho, Bichette, Guerrero, Turner, Kirk, Schneider, Espinal, Escobar, Lucas, Barrios making the trip. I guess that's on the road, is it? No, it's in Dunedin. Ah, it's on
Pittsburgh.
Whatever. It's in Pittsburgh. Lovely Bradenton.
It's nice.
It is nice.
Yeah.
Cool ballpark. So for a road trip, Varsho, Bichette, Guerrero, Turner, Kirk, Schneider, Espinal.
I think those
are like six guys are certainly going to be in the lineup. You've noticed something about the lineup as we wait for Josh, right?
No, I think if you're a Jays fan, you can close your eyes because of the way they play defense and the way they pitch. If they have at-bats the way they had yesterday in that game, especially from Vladdy and Bo, that's how you cook them with gravy. I mean, they were 16th last year in home runs. Just to give you a little comparison with that, they had 188 of those things. Who won the World Series had 233. They finished third.
Yep.
The Jays were 16th. They got to make up ground there. And in that, runners were scoring position with two outs, right? It was a lot of those at-bats last year with Varsho and Chapman that you don't like, that maybe you could have a better Varsho and a lot of Turner hitting those, having those at-bats than you would other guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's those big at-bats. It's hitting more home runs. I mean, if you're Vladdy, you look at it, right? You take one at-bat, you hit a home run with the ball covering a little bit more of the plate. Then your next at-bat, you get an RBI single with some dudes on base with the ball a little closer. You don't hit it as hard. That should tell you something walking away. Force them on the plate a little bit more. I'll hit the ball in the air to the pull side. The ball go where I want it to. So if you're a Jays fan, boy, you just see that. You think five runs. The pitching and defense that they got, you think five runs. You score five runs, you're going to win a lot of games. You make the playoffs. Simple.
Sure looks like the fifth spot in the order is going to be held down by whoever's catching that particular day.
It looks that way.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
Again, Varsho, Bichette, well, during the regular season, it'll be Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Turner, and
if you're a khaki, don't overthink it. I mean, I think that's the theme around camp. Don't overthink it. You got five really good hitters, put them in that first five spots and deal with it.
That bow at bat. Yes. I shouldn't even bother talking about it anymore. We take it for granted, but you know what I like? I always like Buck's reaction to Bo's at bats.
Because
Buck's out, you could tell Buck's got the hole. This guy literally could get out of bed with a slipper still on and a bathrobe.
What I like
and get
about
a hit.
He's evolving. He got in hitters' counts and tried to pull a ball in the air. He got to two strikes. I go back to being Bo. If I get a hit, it's two runs. It's a beautiful thing. He knows who's hitting around him. He knows how much he means to the lineup. He knows that occasionally he'll have to hit the three home run. It's a lot of fun to watch. I got to be honest.
I mean, listen, I've covered baseball. I've covered spring training since 1989. And I got a list of favorite spring training moments, getting to see Doc Gooden throw a bullpen, standing behind the screen watching Doc Gooden throw a bullpen when he was Doc Gooden with something else. I made the point that there was a game in Tampa against the Yankees. Tulo was there, Josh was there, and Reggie Jackson was there. Mm. And they were talking hitting. And I remember going up to Reggie afterwards and asking him about Josh Donaldson. He said, here's the thing. The kids are all doing it now. And he said, and this is when Reggie was with the Yankees as an advisor. He said, the kids are all doing it now. So if I'm going to be able to talk to the kids about that, I got to talk to the guy who started this. And I've always kind of remembered that particular conversation. Josh Donaldson, very much a part of that conversation, joins us on Blair and Barker. Josh, thanks so much for doing this, man. We trust that you're doing well. We trust that the family's doing well. I want to talk to you about your decision to retire, obviously, but do you remember that particular discussion with Reggie? Because it was, and you know, look, you had the numbers, you had the individual accolades, but I mean, MLB Network practically did weekly segments with you as well. You were a hitting thing in addition to being a great player.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. And thanks for having me, guys. And I do remember the conversation. You know, Tilo and I were just sitting there talking, and then Reggie walked up to us. And, you know, it's funny how things work out, because when I was in Oakland, I remember we were playing the Yankees one day, and, you know, A-Rod was up in the cage. And, you know, A-Rod at the time, I was like, he had a lead kick, obviously an amazing career and stuff like that. And I was like, I was sitting around, they kind of, because all was sitting around, I was trying not to intrude on him, but I waited for him after. I was like, hey, Rod, like, you got a piece of advice for me? He's like, oh, not for me, man. Ask Reggie. He's the one that, you know, he's the one who helps me. And Reggie's advice to me was, you know, make poolside the shortstop versus, you know, for him, it would have been the second baseman.
Right.
And I just remember sitting there thinking, I'm like, bro, I remember watching you on video dropping down to a knee, hitting a ball 480 feet. You know, so when him and I were talking, I think trying to understand the lingo of what, you know, that I and the people that were close to me at the time kind of had come up with, and, you know, what our goals for success was. And, you know, I was on MLB TV this morning and talked about the hitting stuff as well. And, you know, they took a 5-minute segment on hitting, and, you know, I kind of had a funny punchline at the end and about telling guys not to, you know, hit on top of the baseball in order to hit a ground ball. That's how I was taught. But ultimately in the game, you have to be able to do a lot of different things versus, you know, be able to hit low line drives, be able to hit a ground ball when it's needed, fly ball. But swing, I wanted to groove as, you know, a ball that was going to be hit hard in the air. And, you know, everybody told me coming up that was, you know, that's not a thing. And so, funny enough, I went and got fitted for golf one spring training, and you know, the guy's telling me, like, hey, if you hit a ball at this launch angle with this spin, with the amount of club head speed and ball speed that you have, like, you're going to be able to hit it X amount of distance. And I go, excuse me? I'm like, what did you just say to me? And he's like, I said, so you have an optimal way to have disc to hit the ball as far as possible. And he's like, yeah. And I go, well, that's it. Everything I've wanted to do in my entire life for baseball. So, you know, I actually tried before TrackMans were all in the stadiums and stuff like that. I had reached out to a couple companies to try to help develop this and give them my insight of what I thought that it needed. And now you have it all throughout the game. And, you know, it's crazy how it all worked out. And, you know, I had a lot of people going saying the exact opposite to me. So I had to fight a lot of criticism and, you know, what I was doing, some changing of my swing and my mindset of what I believe success was. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I found what worked for me. And there's a lot of people out there that have come to me and ask me about hitting advice. And, you know, I always say, it's like, this is what I think. Now you have to figure out, what do you think?
Okay, JD, what was the hardest change in your career? Moving to third or adding the leg kick?
The leg kick was probably the easiest thing. I tried everything throughout the minor leagues. I did a toe tab. I spread out. When I was in high school, I had a leg kick. Now, I didn't have it as under control in what I did at the big league level. Obviously, that took a lot of time and thought around it. But the leg kick was fairly easy. I'd say going back to third base, you know, thankfully, kind of the offseason before that, I had switched my workout regimen to being more explosive and quick on my feet and moving around and, you know, trying to really insinuate having more burst, more fast twitch. And so when the call for me to go to third happened, I was somewhat ready to be an infielder again, because I came up in college as an infielder. So it wasn't it was completely foreign to me, but, you know, learning it at the speed of the big league game, that was, and I got to give a lot of credit to Mike Gallego, who was our infield coach when I was in Oakland. I was in his ear nonstop, always asking him questions like, "What? I feel this way. What do you think? All right, I do this." And, you know, if there was ever a time where we didn't see eye to eye, he would always look at me and he'd say, "Josh," he goes, "I've had my career. This is your career. And if you want to do that, you do it. But this is my advice." And so sometimes I'd have to learn the hard way. And but that was okay.
Josh, what went into your thought process for retirement? And you know, I'll ask you this, you know, listening to or reading the comment you made at the Rogers Center when you came back as a member of the Braves and talked about how, you know, you kind of wish your career in Toronto had finished differently with better health. How frustrating is it for an elite athlete to essentially have their body betray them? Because that's what happened with you, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I would say. I mean, I'm thankful for the fact that I never had any major surgeries or anything like that. But, I mean, my calves and towards the end and when I was with New York and Minnesota, my hamstrings kind of started going a little bit. And I would say the hardest part about going through all that is for someone who had always played with a really high motor to have to learn how to play the game on, you know, like at 70% was always thing that I like fought against because just how I was raised and how I played the game, you know, it was 100% or nothing, you know? And so I had to learn how to do that. And going back into the decision to retire, I mean, I just look at it like this. It would have had to be a perfect situation for me to play this season after, you know, getting married this past January to, you know, my wife who is from Toronto. And, you know, so we got to do some vacationing, hanging around the kids, and, you know, we're really enjoying the stage that they're at right now. And, you know, I honestly just got tired of having to leave to go to spring training and right when my golf game was starting to get really good. So, and, you know, so it's just been a whirlwind of the last couple of days. And, but it's something that got released from New York last year. I had thought about it. I was like, all right, I think this might be it. And then I was able to kind of, and I felt gratitude more than anything. I felt blessed to be in the situations that I've been in and obviously play for the Blue Jays. Those were some of the best years of my career. And, you know, I just really felt a lot of gratitude at the end of the day. And I said, if this is it, then I feel like I can hang my head up high knowing that I put everything that I could put into it, mentally, physically. And I'm happy about, you know, the journey that I was able to partake in.
JD, is there an at-bat, a game, a time where you felt like that you're now the bringer of rain?
That's a good question. You know, I think 2012, when I got recalled for the last time, we were playing the Mariners, and there was an at-bat. So I started the year in the big leagues with the A's, and I had it about, I think it was against Tom Wilhelmsen, and he absolutely just picked me apart like it was like taking candy from a baby. And we're facing him. We're four or five games back in the division, and it's the, I think it's either the Saturday or the Sunday game. I think it's the Saturday game, and we got a day game. And he comes up in that moment, and I had relived that at bat a lot of times before where he handled me earlier in the year. And I'd started to have some success at the big league level at that time. And all right, this is going to be a test because this is somebody who I faced earlier in the year. I feel like I'm ready for this test. And I think I got to like 2-0 or 1-0. He threw me a fastball, and I fouled it straight back. And it wasn't a straight back foul like where, oh, I wasn't really on time for that. I was on time, and this ball was probably going to leave the yard if I squared it up. And I just said to myself, I go, there's no way he throws this pitch again. He just saw the swing I just took. And he threw me a curveball the next pitch. And I hit it out to dead center. I think it was either tie or go ahead. And we ended up winning, and we rolled off like five or six in a row to end up winning the division on the last day of the year. And at that point, I knew that I was onto something. And because I was able to start thinking clearly in the box, and, you know, the game was slowing down for me. and I felt that whatever pitch that was thrown in the strike zone for whatever approach that I was taking at that time, I could handle. And, I wouldn't say I knew 100%, but I felt pretty confident about it.
You said on the MLB Network today, this morning, I believe, you talked about that 2015 Blue Jays team and how good it was. And it was I don't know if you said it was the best team you're on, the most talented team, but the something to that effect. What don't we know about that 2015 team, JD? Like, what would you want Blue Jays fans? Hey, obviously, you know, Eddie, yourself, and we know all the stories, the wins and all that stuff, the rivalry with Baltimore. What don't we make a big enough deal about with that team?
You know, I don't really truly think that everybody knows how much we loved each other. A brotherhood, like the guys that were on that team, and, you know, obviously everybody, I mean, you have a lot of guys in there, but the large group of guys in that locker room really cares about each other still to this day. And, we all felt thing, and there was one goal in mind, and we knew that we were good. And and then on top of that, we played really well. Mm-hmm. So I just remember those teams. Like, we came into town, by the time we left town on the road, the teams were happy that we were gone, and that was a big compliment for us. And there were a multitude of different teams that we faced. When the starting pitcher was on the mound, we knew they were beat before the game started. So that was what was so much fun for us. We knew we were good, and we went out there and played well too. And obviously we ran into Kansas City, and they played great in that series and beat us. But there's no doubt in my mind, we had what it took to win the World Series. It wasn't our day that series.
Okay, you're sitting on the porch with your buddy, and your buddy says to you, how would you like to be remembered? How would you answer that question?
I think for me, it's I played for the game, and there was nothing more that I wanted to do than to help our team win. And I took it very personal whenever it didn't happen. And, I wanted to make it, I wanted to make our team believe that we had what it took to do and accomplish those things. And honestly, I don't, the amount of time and energy that I've spent with a lot of people and teammates throughout my career, whether it was in the cages, whether it was about, defense, whether, with coaches, like trying to, help guys figure out ways to talk to players and to help them get better. And for me, that's what it's always been about, is how can I make myself my highest level, and be, how can I help my teammates play at their highest level? And, I love to compete. I went about it probably in a more intense manner than most people, but I couldn't play any other way. That's how I had to play, and feel like, I was in a fight against the other team, and, sometimes, I probably rub people the wrong way, and that's okay. But it wasn't with any other intent to try to win.
So what are you going to do now? I mean, it's perfect. Well, it's good weather here. I don't know if it's perfect weather for golf, but I would imagine that golf, in addition to raising the kids, golf's got to be in the immediate future, does it not?
Yeah, that's definitely been my my plan for right now. I'm sure I've had some people reach out to me from organizations and stuff like that, but to maybe possibly one day get into some type of role in baseball. I don't know if that's something I want to do at the moment. I know I want to be around the family, and I know I want to try to play some golf and see how good I can get at that. So That's about it. It kind of just enjoying life a little bit, really. Halfway probably through the off season when I started kind of leaning towards this way, I just started realizing, I'm like, I've never even had a summer to myself to where I can just go and hang out or do a vacation. And, you know, my whole life has really been dedicated to, you know, playing sports. And I was always playing some sport, whether, you know, from the time I was five till, you know, now.
JD, listen, man, we really appreciate you joining us. It was great to talk to you. It was great to watch you play. Stay healthy and don't be a stranger. Yeah. We'll be in touch.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, man. Enjoy it.
I appreciate you guys, and thanks for having me, and, you know, thanks for being fair to me. And, you know, sometimes that's saying the truth, and, you know, I always respected that about both of you guys. And at the end of the day, I was happy to play in front of the fans of Toronto for the Blue Jays, and those were the best years of my career. And, thanks for having me on here and saying this little bit. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Good stuff, man. Be well.
See you, buddy.
Josh Donaldson announcing his retirement from baseball. Chris Rose will join us next. We'll take a further look back at Josh's career as well and take a look around the majors. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590, The Fan at Sportsnet.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Vlad, he hit yesterday. I could talk about that.
Like,
of course,
you're talking out both sides of your mouth to me, but whatever. I'm sure he's happy because what he was working on is translating and can help his team.
Man, you know what? I've said a lot of stuff, but I've always been fond of saying, and you know, people, you get tired of me saying this, but once spring training starts, nothing good happens till opening. That doesn't. Nothing good happens till opening day. Maybe a few people win a job. I don't think that happens that much anymore. But the only thing that's going to happen is somebody's going to get hurt. The only thing of consequence is somebody's going to get hurt. Look at the Blue Jays, Gausman, Manoah, Sonny Gray, the Cardinals. And this morning we found out that Lucas Giolito of the Boston Red Sox is likely done for the season. Jeff Passan reporting that with the UCL injury. Chris Rose is host of the Chris Rose Rotation in Baseball Today on John Boy Media. And Chris, honest to God, I swear we did not have this planned when we brought you on. Lucas Giolito, a guy you know well, a guy who's on with you. I'm just going to ask you, have you had a chance to talk to him? Like just, you know, on a human level, have you had a chance to talk to Lucas yet? Because that's devastating for any player, but particularly for a guy at this stage of his career.
Yeah, I mean, I got him a text this morning. I'm sure he's still gathering information and his head's spinning. Oddly enough, our latest episode with Lucas just came out this week. Now, truth be told, we hadn't taped it about a week and a half ago just because of my travel schedule. So it was even before his first outing as a Red Sox, which is, by all indications, apparently when he first started feeling something. But he never mentioned anything. He was talking about how great he felt, how rejuvenated he was after kind of a trying season. And yeah, that's what it is. It's the human level that we deal with. Lucas has been one of a half dozen regulars on our show since its inception 3 years ago.
And he's known as a good dude too. Like he's just known as a good dude.
Yeah, he's great. He doesn't run from anything. He's talked about his struggles on the mound, particularly last year, and what it was like to go through that. You know, he's always very accountable. He doesn't make any excuses. And I think when he got signed this past off season, people were like, hold on, he got paid 38 or 39 million over 2 years. Why? You know, he's coming off basically his worst season. And the reason I said was, it's very simple. There aren't a lot of guys in this sport that you can rely on to be out there every 5 days. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether they're giving up 40 plus homers in a year or striking out 200, which are things that he's done in his career, right?
Yep.
But I just added it up this morning, and went back since 2018. I believe he started 167 games, which by my count is going to be almost as much as anybody in the majors. Wow. He just doesn't miss starts. And that's why something like this is so crushing. You know, is he going to win Cy Youngs for you? No. But is he a guy that's dependable and accountable? Absolutely. And so that's why this is tough for him.
Yeah, he signed a 2-year deal with Boston. Jeff Passan reporting he may need surgery to repair the right elbow damage. It's a partially torn UCL and flexor strain. I would imagine, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I imagine that there will at least be some discussion as to whether or not you can rehab it without surgery. But, I mean, I think the percentages probably aren't in his favor. And that's too bad because this is a good opportunity to reestablish himself.
Absolutely. Chris, you mentioned the Red Sox. What do you think's going on with the Red Sox?
I think they're kind of lost as a franchise. I'm shocked that we've gotten here to this point. I know that they do have a nice farm system, okay? But what big-time franchise is touting, hey, we're going to be there when our farms, like that, so do the Dodgers, and that's not what they hang their hat on. Now, it has given them an incredible ability to go out, not rush guys, make trades when they've needed to. You know, a few years ago, they traded Josiah Gray and Keibert Ruiz in the Max Scherzer, Trey Turner deal, and they didn't blink because they trusted themselves that much to replenish their system and still try and compete for a World Series championship while doing that. Boston's kind of gone the opposite way. I mean, they've just, you know, look at the number of guys they've given up that are not only proven major leaguers, but award winners, and in the case of a Mookie Betts, most likely a future Hall of Famer. I think it's a hard sell job to give to your fans, and that is the number one sport up there. I know the Patriots and Celtics and the Bruins, everybody loves them, but that's the lifeblood of that city is Boston Red Sox baseball. And I don't know what they're doing. I've seen a lot of Red Sox fans say that the organization is happy selling the Fenway experience. And that's not good enough. You know, not when you're probably staring at another last place finish, and I don't get it. If I were a Red Sox fan, I'd be pissed.
Absolutely. Where do you see the American League East going? You just talked about the Red Sox. The Rays might take a little step back because injuries and trades and, you know, just sort of I think they're trying to figure out where they're trying to go, wherever that is with the Underground City and the things they're trying to piece together to have a championship season. Then you look at the Blue Jays, the Orioles, and the Yankees. I got the Yankees winning the East. Obviously, the Orioles are doing some things. That would leave the Blue Jays. Now, the Blue Jays are sort of in that mix like the Guardians, where, you know, if you're throwing in the Orioles as the first wild card, then you got two spots open. And if you look at the American League, you got six teams fighting for those two spots. In your mind, where do you have the Blue Jays?
I would have them as a really good wild card contender. And if things break right, it, you know, possibly fight it out for the division crown. I've been on the Blue Jays for a few years. In fact, I want to say last year, I picked them to be in the World Series against the Padres. I really nailed that one, guys. I also had Manoa winning the Cy Young. So yeah. If you guys need any stock advice or Bitcoin, I'm your guy, because obviously I'm nailing all this stuff. I think Justin Turner is going to help immensely.
Me too.
And here's why. Not only is he still productive, swinging the bat at 39, there's a handful of blue guys in Major League Baseball that just, when they walk into a clubhouse, something happens. And it's, you know, we've become such a measurable sport. Everything is metric. That is not metric. You can't put a dollar figure on the guy who can galvanize a clubhouse. And I do think that that's something that has been missing a little bit in Toronto. Not because they got bad guys. Don't get me wrong. I think they're good dudes in there. But I think that sometimes, whatever it is, you need an extra chemistry component. And I think that he's it, guys. And it wouldn't shock me, because I think the Blue Jays have as much talent as anybody in the sport, to be honest with you. I mean, possibly I would put the Braves and Dodgers on a little bit different pedestal. But certainly in the American League, there are a lot of teams that are going to out-talent them. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, I'm a bad person to ask. I'm a little down on them right now, to be honest.
Are you really?
Other than Bo Bichette, I like everybody the Orioles have pretty much over everybody the Jays have at every position.
You know what it is, Chris? I think there's so many unknowns with Vladdy taking the next step.
Yeah,
is he capable of doing that, right?
That's the thing.
It's the follow-up MVP thing. Can he ever do that again? We have not seen that the last couple years. That's the giant unknown, is we just don't know. Everybody's rooting for that because, you know, even if they're losing, if you have the Vladdy and the Bo thing happening, there's still a lot of fun to watch. You would want to tune in. There's so many unknowns with the ground balls and the not hitting fly balls and the late on the fastball. It's just there's some things there. I think that's it.
Well, I would agree with you that, you know, when he finished runner-up in the MVP voting a couple of years ago, we thought that was going to be the start of the rocket ship. And there's no question. I don't even think he had an 800 OPS last year, if I'm not mistaken. That's not good enough. He does have to become more consistent because right now he's Vladdy the star kind of in name only. I would agree with you there, but they do have a bunch of other really good baseball players. They do. Are they, you know, you said, well, I like outside of Bo Bichette, I like everybody that the Orioles have. Once again, the Orioles have a ton of talent too, a ton of it. I mean, you're talking about one of the most talented teams in baseball, but I do like the Blue Jays rotation. I mean, as long as this Gossman shoulder thing isn't
agreed,
you know that now, listen, that could be the bugaboo here. If that extends into the season, then we're talking something different here.
Yeah.
But I do like their rotation an awful lot. I think they got some gritty guys up there that can help, you know, Bassett's a baller. Berrios is really good. Kikuchi's in the last year of his deal. So, you know, if Alejandro Kirk gets back to the year that he had the previous season, that's going to be a winner. I would have liked to have seen them get Bellinger. I'll be honest with you. I thought that would have been a really, really nice piece for you guys, but whatever, that didn't happen.
Yeah, I wanted to see them get somebody. They needed somebody to hit in the middle of the yard. I'm sorry, they did.
They needed Turner and somebody else, I think, Chris, is what Jeff's trying to say.
You mentioned Bellinger, and I want to move on because I saw what you were saying about Matt Chapman. And, of course, we've also, you know, about Scott Boras's offseason as well. Matt Chapman is he's an interesting case study, isn't he? The deals he's turned down, and the deal with the Blue Jays were led to believe was something $100 million to $120 million. It was 5 or 6 years. There were opt-out. I mean, whatever. He turned down a nine-figure deal from the Blue Jays, were led to believe. Do you think, Chris, that what we're seeing this offseason with Blake Snell still out there, J.D. Martinez, you know, there's a ton of guys that are still after. Do you think guys are going to re-examine free agency next year? Are they going to look at it a little differently? Not just Scott Boras clients, but players in general.
Well, I think you have to. I don't know what has gone on in baseball. Do I think that there's full-blown collusion? I mean, to me, that means that you're getting 30 owners on a phone and we're having discussions about trying to keep the salaries down. I don't think that's happening. Do I think that there is some element of that where teams are saying, okay, you know, we really don't know what's going on with our regional sports networks and we really don't want to have to die? Yeah, I do think there's part of that. I do. I wouldn't put anything past the owners in Major League Baseball. Nothing.
That's
I
always wise.
At all. Right. And by the way, for fans that are rooting, are like, finally the players are y'all realize that what you're doing is rooting against people who are more like you. The players are employees, just like the rest of us. Very few of us are ever going to be owners of companies. A lot of us are going to be employees. So just don't be jealous just because they're playing, quote unquote, a kid's game. You should be rooting for players to get as much money as possible, because that's not what's going to increase your ticket prices and things of that nature. It's just not. I'm telling you. That's not what's going to do it. So would you rather have the dollars in the owner's hands or the player's hands? I like it when the, I've never gone to a game. I don't know about you. I've never gone to a game to go watch an owner own. Like, it just doesn't interest me. I'd rather go watch a player play, and a great one. And so I'd like to see them get handsomely rewarded. But if I were a player, what I would think about is if I'm happy in a situation, I would think about signing a long-term deal before I hit free agency. Because I don't think it's cracked up all that it's, you know, meant to be.
Okay, last one before we let you go. Guardians, can they swing through pitches and make the playoffs?
You know, our starting outfield last year combined for like 15 home runs.
Yeah.
That's not very good, guys. It's not like golf where low score wins. So we don't have a ton of power there. I would have us anywhere between like 77 and 84 wins. So I don't think that 84 gets it done.
Yeah.
So I'm rooting for my guy because one of my best friends in baseball became our manager this year. So I'm excited for Steven Vogt. I love my team. I hope I'm wrong.
Cool.
How's that sound?
That's good. That sounds good. Absolutely. I got to squeeze in one question before we go here. We've got like 2 minutes left, but Barker's a Denver Broncos fan. Oh. Russell Wilson, yes. worst contract in NFL history, yes or no?
Well, it depends what you're talking about. For Russell, no. He did great. He made $85 million over 2 years. So that part was awesome. Oh, you mean for the Broncos?
Yeah.
Yeah, that didn't work out great. But the good news is you only gave up multiple first and second rounders and players.
There you go.
So you made up for it. I think they failed him a little bit. Obviously, the Nathaniel Hackett hiring was brutal. Sean Payton obviously didn't want anything to do with Russell Wilson. But at the same time, like, I don't have a great landing spot for him either. Like, if you're the Steelers, are you excited if he's coming on board?
Nope.
If you're the Falcons, is that the guy you want trying to gel all those young pieces on offense?
Nope.
I don't know where he is right now. Is it, he just didn't look anything like Russell Wilson the last 2 years. Nothing.
Yeah. I like the idea. I like the idea about him going to the Jets.
I don't think it matters with that guy in Kansas City anyway. Chris, it doesn't matter with that quarterback in Kansas City. Doesn't matter who the quarterback in Denver is.
Hey, guys, this was the year where the rest of the AFC was supposed to stomp all over the Chiefs. I kind of lost track. How did that work out for everyone?
Yeah, not very good. Didn't work out well for anybody. Hey, Chris, thanks for doing this, man.
You're the best. Thank you.
It's my pleasure, guys. You take care. Have a good start to your season.
You
too. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks
a lot.
You too,
buddy. Take care. That's Chris Rose, host of the Chris Rose Rotation in Baseball Today and John Boy Media. Hey, that's it for us.
Yeah.
That was good. Josh Donaldson, Chris Rose, Blue Jays baseball, 1 o'clock today. Jose Barrios on the mound. Varsho, Bichette, Guerrero, Turner, Kirk Schneider, Espinal, Escobar, Lucas, Barrios. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 to noon Eastern on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet.